Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said it isn't the people who tell all they know that cause most of the trouble in the world. It's the ones who tell more than they know. We appreciate the opportunity of being with you today. We're glad again to be able to study from the Word of God and to learn more about our obligation to our Father in heaven. We appreciate your listening to Bible Meditations and encourage you to tell others about our program. All right, let's get back to our study, and we're talking about prayer. We have pointed out the fact that God wants us to pray unto Him, and prayer is certainly an important part of the life of a child of God. In fact, the child of God could not carry on successfully in his life if he did not depend upon prayer. Well, we are exhorted to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. In a passage we're looking at, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have noted that there are four elements of prayer that are very important to us. Paul tells Timothy, I exhort, therefore, first of all, and then he lists four things that are very important: supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks. We've looked at the first three of these things, and we have noted the fact that in our prayers we make requests, we ask things of God because God is stronger than we are, God is able to care for us, and therefore, since we're children of God, we go to our Father and ask Him to do things for us. Then the second term was the term prayer, and we indicated that those who are God's children simply express to God the thoughts that they have in their heart. And so it's just simply talking with the Father in heaven. Then intercession is mentioned, and the word intercession means that we make requests for other people. We make requests in regard to those around about us. And as we think about intercession, let me point out to you that there ought to be, in proportion, more requests for other people than we make for ourselves. We're not selfish people. Christianity teaches the opposite of selfishness. It's not just praying and saying, God bless me and my wife and my children, and that's as far as I want you to go. It's rather a matter of us taking what we can of the problems of others round about us before the throne of God. Isn't it wonderful to know that God will listen and that God has the ability to hear the request that we make? Now, if somebody comes to me and starts talking to me, and then another person steps up and begins at the same time to talk to me, and then perhaps a third is injecting things into what we're saying, the first thing you know, I'm confused. I can't keep up with all the different conversations that are going on. Well, if that's the case, what about God? Well, we're really thinking about human terms, aren't we? God has the ability. He is infinite in ability. And He is able to listen to all of us. And He is able to hear and answer our prayers. He doesn't have the human limitations you and I have along that line. There's never a time that God doesn't have time to talk to us. I sometimes get a little provoked at the idea of going to the phone and trying to talk to someone, and then when I get there, I find a busy line. And maybe for the next several minutes, it's still busy. And it bothers me. But do you know something? There never is a time when you go to God and you find the line busy. God's too busy to talk to you. No, it never happens. Because God is infinite. God is without limitations. And therefore, He is able to hear and to answer our prayers. All right, the next thing that He mentions, He says, the giving of thanks be given for all men. The giving of thanks simply expresses the fact that we recognize that we are nothing, we have nothing, except what God has given to us. We have a Father who's able to provide for us. If we're provided for, it is because He has been good to us. When we get the idea that we don't need help in this life, that we can go through life and everything is all right and we need no help from God, we're really in trouble, aren't we? Friends, we could do nothing without what God provides for us. I can almost hear someone saying, well, I put the food on my table. My friends, who gave you the ability to get that food and the ability to put it upon your table? That came from God. Your very life comes from God. In the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul explained to the people in that day, they weren't dependent on idols. An idol couldn't do anything for them. There's no way that they were better because of idols that were round about them. But there is one who is all powerful. He is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. He's the one who gives life and breath and all things to mankind. Often I think of this. The person who's cursing God is using the very breath that came from God. The person who denies God, the atheist, is using the very breath that came from his Father in heaven. He may not have realized it, and he may not be willing to be thankful for the ability to breathe. But that's where that came from. And so very clearly, those of us who understand who the giver of all things is, then we certainly want to fill our hearts with thanksgiving. Think about the blessings that you've received this day. Your eyes awoke in the morning. You were conscious. You were able to get up from your bed, to go about the activities of the day. You were able to have food on your table. You were able to be sustained in regard to the things that are physically important to you. And you go about the activities of the day, maybe with a job, maybe doing things that you enjoy doing around the house, all of the things that you've been able to do, and every blessing that you've received has come from God. God is the giver of all things. Well, what does all of that mean? It means I have had a good life, and things are well with me because God has loved me, and because God has answered the prayers that I give. Now, what kind of a person would it be who would take from God all the blessings God gives and never go to God in thanksgiving? Well, it isn't hard to figure out. That kind of a person is an ingrate. None of us like people who don't have the ability to say thank you. We teach our little children when they're still young, when somebody does something for you, when someone gives you something, you say thank you. You express that thanks. Sometimes when little children are given candy or gum or whatever it might be, a parent will stand by and say, what do you say? In other words, you've been given something. Someone has been good to you. Now, are you going to express thanksgiving to the one who's given it to you? We sometimes sing a song, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Well, I think all of us need to take time to do that very thing. If you were to count the blessings you have received this day from God and put them all down as much as you could remember, then do you think thanksgiving is out of place? Do you think that we ought to be saying, God, I'm thankful for what you have done for me? Well, we appreciate this opportunity of study, and we're glad you're listening. Listen again tomorrow. Remember, it was Jesus who said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.